Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, welcome one and all to another fabulous edition of Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson, and I'd like to say a massive thanks to the crew from the Escape Pod for another week of amazingness. And of course, they will be back next week for the same, or more of the same, but more fun. In a good way. As I said, my name is Tim Nicholson. I'm joined here on Joy 94.9's very own motoring program by none other than the very delightful Dan Gardner. Dan, hi.
Hi. Joy 94.9's very own motoring pom.
You are, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, there's none other, is there?
I don't think so.
There may be one. Jeremy Clarkson popped in.
Yeah. Honestly, I wish he'd just stop badgering me.
I know, right?
He's just such an attention seeker.
He is old.
Jeremy, I know you're listening. Can you just calm down, all right? Yeah. Quit the late night Twitter.
Yeah. Flirting.
Yeah. He is dreadful.
Constantly.
Yeah, no, I don't think there is another. Well, there are other of my kind at Joy.
Okay.
But as far as I know, I'm the only one with close relation to motoring subjects.
Ooh.
Which makes me feel very special indeed.
Mechanophilia.
Oh, I mean, one might say even unique. Mechanophilia.
Well.
No.
No. We have talked about that before. It's sassy. It's outrageous. We won't be discussing it.
We certainly won't be doing a filthy show special on it. That's for sure.
No. Now, how are you feeling today? It's grand final day.
I know.
The grand final is on right now.
Yep.
Now, so both of you listening, thank you so much
yes,
for tuning in. Look, it does take over our nation. It's very exciting.
It does. But I was listening to a radio show yesterday about there's quite a large number of people out there who oppose it and try and get away from the whole football thing today. So, to those three people... So we've got five listeners today, which is good. No, there are plenty of people out there who would rather do something other than listen or watch the football.
Exactly.
And that is our main listening base today.
Well, it's also the global audience that Joy has. So people listening online from other countries or other states that don't necessarily care for the AFL.
True.
Are listening. And if you are, we want to thank you for listening in because it is a big day and we really appreciate your time.
Yes.
In saying that, I nearly spat there. In saying that,
at the thought of something. I don't know what
footballers,
it was.
Probably. Was it? Footballers. Dear. But if you are enjoying the football, we hope you are, and you've probably got one ear tuned to Joy while you are watching the football. And good luck to you. God bless. Thank you so much for being
here. We promise we aren't checking the result while we're on air.
No, we would never do such a thing. But
what's that rattling of keys in the background?
Porn. No, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, and it is about motoring, so we probably should move away from the football.
If we must.
We're coming back to football, by the way, a little bit later. We're
going
to
have
a bit of a chat about football sponsorship and how that relates to each club. And we'll come back to that, as I said, a little bit later on. But let's get moving on the motoring news. Look, first up, I'm just going to say how excited I am, and I don't know if you will be, but that Lamborghini Urus. Excuse me.
And you do have to say it like that. You sounded rather primate-like.
Thank you. I'm a monkey.
Bit of chest beating going on.
Oh, that sounds a little bit raunchy.
You are like you. I see you as if you were an animal, you'd be like a. What was that? You'd be a bit like a silverback, I reckon, if you're an animal.
Really? Yeah. Isn't that an aggressive one?
No, well, they can be. Much like yourself, Tim. You get you on a bad day and you can be terrible. and you are, if I may say, you're silvering up nicely.
Oh, I see. That's where it was going. What a witch.
I know. I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
A bit of salt and pepper, very sexy, Tim.
Thank you.
I have to say that because I'm on the turn as well.
You've got like two.
Then when I say I'm on the turn, you can draw into that, you will.
It's true. Now back to the Urus, which is the stupidest name of anything that's ever happened in the world.
Yeah.
So it's an SUV, Lamborghini's SUV. We've spoken about it on the show before.
Yep.
Apparently it's all go. It's all happening. It's going to production.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I was about to ask you exactly the same question.
None of
because
your business.
I think it's a bit... Right, well, I think we've drawn a stalemate there because I'm not going to say either.
Let's move on. No,
I think, I don't know. I felt a little bit, whenever I hear of a car maker that they're announcing they're going to branch out into a segment they've never been in before, I get a little nervous. The first time it really happened, I remember notably, was when BMW said they were going to make a four-wheel drive, and that was the X5 back, I can't even remember when, the 90s at some point. That I got a little bit excited about, because I knew the reason they'd done that is because they'd almost underhandedly acquired four-wheel drive technology from Land Rover that they bought for a very reasonable price at the time. So I thought, you know, BMW, I could see them having a four-wheel drive, an off-road vehicle. That sort of sat well with me. What doesn't sit so well is Lamborghini. Come on. It's like, that's a brand that should never really have a vehicle like this attached to it.
You don't think it's appropriate?
I don't at all. I think Lamborghini is there for a reason, and off-road vehicles, SUVs, are not that reason. In the same way that, you know, what would you feel if you heard of a diesel Ferrari, you know? Or you know, it's just, it just doesn't sit well with me.
Well, that's, it kind of, you know, it could potentially dilute the brand. But you look at Porsche, the Cayenne is the biggest selling, their biggest selling model by a country mile.
Yeah.
I guess it's just the question of whether that matters to you. Do you want exclusivity, or do you want every Joe Blow going to pick up their kids in a Porsche? And there are a lot of Cayennes around. I don't think this SUV will be quite as popular as far as sales are concerned. It just won't be affordable, obviously.
Exactly. I was going to say, you just know already this is going to be one pricey little thing.
Totally. And it won't be as practical. It won't be anywhere near as practical.
No.
So, look.
I should imagine it will probably share a lot of the underpinnings of a Volkswagen.
Well, that's the rumour, and I spoke to a lovely chap, a very attractive Scottish man from Bentley a little while ago.
You, Tim.
And he let it slip.
He
also told me a few things.
Ah.
No, he did mention that, because Bentley are obviously going ahead with their god-awful looking SUV, but it's going to look completely different, apparently. That's great, but he did mention a couple of things about the Lambo SUV, and it's going to be completely different. So,
all right.
Yeah. He didn't mention anything about platforms, but I think it's a bit of a watch this space. So,
yeah.
Let's all go.
I'm certainly interested.
Yeah.
I might not be particularly excited.
No.
Interested.
Interested,
yes.
Definitely. Now, one thing that is quite sadly not coming to Australia, I found out earlier this week that I think we've spoken about on the show before, Mercedes-Benz have got this thing called the G63 AMG, which is a six-wheeled ute/SUV. There's no other way to describe it.
No, there's nothing else like it out there, really.
It is bonkers.
It is. It's sort of, I mean, we all know the G-Wagon is that very utilitarian-looking, very form-follows-function kind of Mercedes four-wheel drive. Very boxy. The design really hasn't changed much in years. It almost looks a bit military. It looks very like it has a, very much like it has a function.
Well, I believe there has been six-wheeled Mercedes-Benz vehicles produced for the Australian Army, but different to this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this still has that same very boxy utilitarian look, but it's a lot longer and it does have an extra pair of wheels on the back, and it looks like such an enormous amount of fun. But it is a little bit of a shame that we've not got it coming here, because I should imagine it suits the Australian outback very nicely indeed.
Look, it probably would. Unfortunately, it's going for a song in Europe at just €450,000, which equates to about $650,000 Australian dollars.
What a bargain,
isn't it though?
That is an absolute steal. The thing I would say probably goes against it, other than its very attractive price, Tim, I should imagine having a 5.5 litre twin turbo V8 dragging around the might of that vehicle, which, I mean, to me looks anywhere between 2 and 3 tons of weight. I'm imagining fuel consumption probably would be a bit of an issue.
It might be a bit of an issue, let's be honest.
Yes.
Possibly the owners might not care about that, but I just love the idea. I'd love for like a well-to-do mother or father to go and pick up their children at a fancy private school, just rock up in that and just drive over all of the other SUVs.
Yeah.
Six wheels of fun.
Because it is really, it has got to that point with SUVs now. We've talked about, you know, a couple other models already on the show. It is very beat your neighbour. You know, SUVs have got like that. That's why that Lamborghini will sell, the Urus. That's why the Cayenne sells. It's because people want to outdo. They want to out-S-do-V.
Their it's neighbors. True, isn't
and,
it?
Yeah, and so that thing, people would buy it. They'd stump up that cash.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
It is absolutely bananas. Now, we've got quite a bit more coming up on the show today on Fender Bender on Joy 94.4.9. I can't say words. So make sure you stick around. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim Nicholson here with Dan Gardner.
Yes.
That's you, isn't it?
I'm just confirming, you know, because obviously people can't see.
Well, you've just got to clarify.
You do really need me to say something to really fully believe that I'm here.
It's true. You are here. Now, other news this week, very exciting things. Citroen are going to release a car called the Cactus.
Stupidest name ever.
Pretty much. Look, it's very strange what they're doing. I still don't really understand their strategy, but Citroen have got, you know, they've got their DS line, which is a beautiful looking car.
Yeah.
It's the kind of upmarket brand within Citroen. So the next lot of C cars, so C3, C4 or C5, are all going to be kind of budget focused, stripped back, really basic offerings for quite a reasonable price, considering that they're French. this is the first one of these models. It's called it's going to be called the C4 Cactus. And that Cactus name is going to be their budget-friendly sub-brand.
So there's going to be more than one
there's
car.
There's going to be more than one Cactus.
This is absolutely absurd. Surely they'll change it for the Australian market.
Well, you'd think so, because obviously in Australia it means, you know,
yes,
finished
exactly.
Over.
Even I, a relatively new Australian, knows what Cactus means. And if you describe your car as Cactus, people are going to say, well, I told you not to buy a Citroen.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they do, whether that follows through in Australia. But I don't know if it's not a very nice sounding word. Take away what a cactus is. It just doesn't sound like a nice,
no.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly
what
you mean.
It just sounds
It has
cactus.
To be sort of phonetic and sounding good.
Absolutely.
Has to create the right image when you think of that word and that car.
Yeah.
It has to associate correctly. But no, I can't see it. I can't see it working at all.
And you know what? They're French. You got a lot. There's some nice words that are French words.
Absolutely.
What about
right.
You know the Citroen aujourd'hui? Like, I mean, I'm just throwing these out.
Was that
there,
afternoon? Maybe. The Citroen afternoon.
It was today.
Oh, that is today, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. What about the Citroen après-midi?
What does that mean?
That is afternoon. I've just remembered the correct French now.
What about just the Citroen ouais? I mean, this is just lunacy, let's be honest. But look, anyway, hopefully they will pick something more appropriate, something more French down the track. Some other European news. I don't know if you've been following this. I'm a bit obsessed with this at the moment. So Chrysler and Fiat hooked up after the global financial crisis. Fiat actually bought most of Chrysler because Chrysler went bankrupt, bloody under Obama's, you know, forced bankruptcy, blah, blah. Anyway, dramas.
We love a drama, Joy.
Who doesn't? And at the moment, so what's happening is that Sergio, I think it's Marchionne, but I think I pronounced that incorrectly, the head of Fiat, has offered to buy the remaining 41.5% of Chrysler from the United Auto Workers Union, or Trust Fund, owns it.
Yeah.
And they want to sell it to him, or sell it to Fiat, so Fiat can then, that's the only way they can go ahead with their huge expansion plans.
Right.
Is to get the access to the cash that Chrysler has.
Oh, this is
really, yeah, it's intrigue.
Wow, you can't, there's no films that are this good.
There should be
this
one.
This is real.
I know. Anyway, so he's, they are saying we want $5 billion for the remaining shares.
Oh, why not? You know, I'm sure someone's got it kicking around in the ashtray.
Yeah. But Sergio thinks that's outrageous, and he keeps going, no, no, no. So what they've done, the United Auto Workers Union, and they've been allowed to do this through the change of kind of policy under the global financial crisis, they're just going to publicly, you know, put their shares on the market.
Like,
it's called an IPO.
So anyone can buy into, you can own a part of Fiat.
Well, yeah, Chrysler. So, and it's... And
where do I sign?
Well,
I want a piece of that.
But what's hilarious is that Sergio, over in Italy, is kind of everyone... He's very, very testy about the whole thing. And now he's said kind of, oh, we're reconsidering the whole arrangement.
I bet they are.
But... he's also kind of calling their bluff and going, all right, go ahead.
This
weird standoff.
Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
It is very stuff of... No, as I say, like sometimes it's... Better real life is a little bit better than
I think so.
And this
a
is
movie.
Like a massive game of poker. It's like a really
it totally
really
is. I think he should be played by Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
I think everyone should be played by Michael Douglas.
Who would the villain? No, actually, who's?
Well, he's kind of playing himself. This is the hilarious thing because he controls both companies.
Yeah,
but now these United Auto Worker people have got the kind of upper hand.
How about we put the pledge out to our listeners? There's quite a few of them. if we look, I'll do some sums in the next ad break, and we'll work out how much we have to stump up each per person to secure a majority share in a international motoring manufacturer. What do you reckon?
I like that idea a lot. It might not be worth it because experts are saying the whole thing's not going to happen, and eventually the United Auto Workers will take a cheaper price for it.
That's a shame.
Well,
that could have been a really good sponsor for Fender Bender.
I know, but look, it might not happen. It's all very kind of up in the air at the moment, but it is quite interesting. We're going to see what happens. And it's also interesting because Fiat bailed out Chrysler because they were broke in the financial crisis, and now it's the opposite. No. Chrysler are doing so well in North America that they are propping up Fiat.
Oh, this is great.
Heaven. It's like, you know,
it great being able to just have a ringside seat and just watch this all unfolding.
Exactly. So we will see what's happening with that as we move on in the world. One more little bit of news, Dandelion.
Yes.
Is there's been a record broken, I believe.
I think I know what you're talking about. And then this is in Phoenix, which is a place somewhere other than Australia.
Yeah, it's also a band, but it is.
No, we're not talking about the band. We're talking about the state in the US of states.
Yes, correctional.
Where a man by the name of Austin Coulson has built the world's, apparently, Guinness has gone on record and said this is true, the world's smallest roadworthyable car.
What the what?
Yeah. Now, this is the thing. I want anyone listening, all one of you, to think, what is the smallest car that you think could possibly be legal on the road? Because I remember when you told me about this story earlier, I suddenly had an image in my head. I thought, how small could this be? And I thought, well, you know, you've got to be able to get in a car, haven't you? Haven't you? No. This car is so small, you don't really get in it, you sort of more get on it. It sort of loosely resembles like a little Willy's Jeep.
I beg your pardon?
I said Willy.
Titter?
Yeah, and you said tit.
Oh, that's outrageous.
It's all Willy and tits on Fender Bender today.
It usually is, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's this tiny little car. I would say it's no more than, it looks less than a metre in length. And it has conformed to fulfil the requirements for a car that can do no more than 25 miles per hour on an American road. And because of that, it has been roadworthy. So this guy is allowed to drive his tiny car, which has the registration plate, I'm big. And that made me laugh, because I thought on a tiny car like that, that registration plate makes sense. What I'd love to see is that rego on a normal car. You'd think there's such a dick,
it's
quite
pretty,
literally,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Absolutely. That's pretty cute, actually, though.
Yeah, it is cute. Well, it's an amazing little thing. I urge you to go and Google or use any other search engine to find the world's smallest roadworthy car and have a look, because it's well worth a laugh.
It very much is. That is very, very exciting. It's tiny, it's cute, much like us.
Oh, very nice, Tim. Very nice.
We're not tiny,
it actually
we're
makes
big.
Me feel, you know how they say, you know, like the bigger and the more expensive the car, the tinier the gentleman's appendage
yes.
is? This guy must have a huge cock.
He would,
imagine?
Too. He would. And he is a largish tattooed man. I support that. I support that 100%.
I know exactly what you're talking about, Tim. He is so your type.
He is a little bit. Anyway, let's move on from my type. Now, very shortly, we're going to speak to the lovely Brett from Motor Friends, who we haven't caught up with a little while. And we're also going to be having a chat about car companies and their sponsorship, of course, of AFL clubs very shortly. So do stick around on this AFL Grand Final day for Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. That's correct. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim and Dan here with you on Grand Final day. We're very happy to have your company. And Dan, we're very happy to have the company of somebody we've been missing for a little while, the fabulous Brett from MotorFens. Brett, are you there?
Absolutely. Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Brett. How are you going?
Good.
You're well. We haven't seen you in a while.
No. Been lying low. Been somewhat unwell. Been a bit more dizzy than usual. Oh.
You poor poss. But you're back on. You're back on deck now,
absolutely,
aren't you?
Absolutely. Still staggering off the heels.
I can just imagine you at home with the heels on right now.
That's
and
the
I'm
way
sure
we like
fabulous.
You most. Right?
It's true. Now I have to ask. It is Grand Final day. Do you give a stuff?
Oh, absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely. I'm big on the sports scene. I am not your regular homosexual.
Terrific.
Well, we won't keep you too long then.
No, I do love my footy. I've always been in the footy competition down at my mate's workshop, and they get very ticked off when I pick nine.
Oh, okay. So you do quite well at it then.
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. And who's your team? Who do you normally go for?
I'm Western Bulldogs.
Oh, are you okay. All right. Did you grow up around that area?
It goes back a very long way from when I was growing up in Malaya in the Air Force bases there. One of Mum and Dad's friends befriended me and said, "Right, you're going to Barrick for the Footscray in those days."
Yep.
So I have just continued on.
Well, I think that's how it happens. I mean, Dan, you were kind of forced to, when you moved to this country, to go for a particular team.
I was. Yeah. Yes, I wasn't going to be welcome in my adopted family if unless I went for my team.
Oh, Dan, please tell me it's not Collingwood.
Brett, it gives me enormous pleasure to say it is. And that
he's fallen off his heels.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have just gone into a fit of the vapors. You have just sunk below my estimation.
No, but it's okay because, Brett, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to introduce a new type of Collingwood supporter. I'm trying to do, you know, I've got all my teeth by and large. You know, I can string sentences together. Don't say what I know what you're going to say, Tim. I just had a problem with my tooth recently, and that's why I wasn't on air last week. And so I'm almost conforming to the stereotypical image of a Collingwood supporter. So bear with me. I'm trying to do something different for the Magpies.
Well, okay, all right. Whereas I'm a Geelong supporter and we just missed out on the grand final, and I'm happy to confirm that most of our supporters are gigantic bogans. Me included. I went to the game last year or whatever in Geelong and was alarmed at the level of the supporters. But we are amazing. But we do wish Hawthorn and Fremantle the best of luck today.
Absolutely.
Have you got a pick?
And the whole thing is, now, I'm at an absolute dilemma. Purple clashes with my grey hair, so I can't wear purple, and one must not wear mustard when one is over 30.
Really? Is that true? I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
Well, Lily Savage said it, and, well, she's the thing.
She's onto it.
Absolutely. So some may say I'm over 30, but I still insist I'm 28.
Well, there's no proof of you being over 30, is there? Let's be honest.
Wow. It's making me consider my wardrobe as I'm sitting here now. So I'm slightly worried about that.
It's true, actually, Brett. Dan is sitting here. It's like a purple and mauve floral shirt here today.
That is
now,
very
I
true.
I would have been more concerned if you said lavender.
Oh, there's touches of lavender in there. Yes. I don't mind a bit of lavender. What's wrong with that? Come on.
Yeah. Well, look, you're wearing it well. But,
anyway, weren't we here to talk about cars
at some
point?
It's true. Now, of course, Motor Friends is still going strong. What have you guys been up to in the last little while?
Well, we've had our AGM. I don't think I've been on air since then. I've been re-elected as president.
Fabulous. Round of applause.
That's right. We were talking about that last time, and when we were barracking for you.
Yep.
And congratulations. Couldn't be a better lady for the job.
Well, thank you, dear. Look, it's been a great honour to be president for 12 months and for another 12 months. So I can hopefully move the club through to the next stage that we've done the groundwork for the last 12 months. But we've got a lot of things happening over the next few months, which is really, really good. October is going to be a very, very busy month. We've got the Coraline Last of the Chrome Bumpers coming up on this weekend on the 6th. We've also got, there is the celebration for the 100 year of the Morris car.
Oh, really?
Yes. So the good old Murray has been around for 100 years.
That's incredible. I mean, I'd known it was here we've had it for a while, but I didn't realise it was quite that long. That's incredible.
Absolutely. Now, you know, we all sort of scoff about, you know, the good old Murray, but it's stood the test of time.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Wowzers.
So all being good. And also we've got coming up on the 13th, Sunday the 13th of October, the Motor Friends Show and Shine.
Yes.
Now, all that information is on our website as usual. And as every everybody knows. It's MotorFriends, motafrenz.org.au, and go to the events, and it's all there.
And if you did go to the events, you'd be able to see that on the 16th, I believe it's the third Wednesday of every month, you have slot car racing.
Absolutely, which is getting a bit of a cult following.
I'm not surprised to hear that at all. The people are really passionate about this.
Yes. Look, I personally have not been, but just listening to the feedback from the others, you can have your own personalised slot car. And all this, and I'm sort of going,
But this is
competitive
good.
There.
This is really low budget motor racing.
Yes.
Because, you know, the expression goes, no one ever said it was cheap to go racing. But here we go. This is a form of motorsport, and it is motorsport, that is very accessible, very cheap. Although, I would hasten to guess that you could probably spend a lot more money than any of us can really imagine. I reckon if you got really into it, you could probably go nuts with it.
Go a bit cray-cray.
Yes, I do believe so. Garages full of racetracks and all that sort of regalia.
Whereabouts is the... the
Northcote.
Oh, excellent. Oh, with the lesbians. Lovely.
We are a diverse club. We do not discriminate against anyone, dear.
That's true. And, of course, if people do want to find out more, they can go to MotorFriends, motafrenz.org.au, if they want to find out more, I believe.
Absolutely, and everything is there, and you can always email us and we'll get back to you, but everything's there on the website.
Terrific. Brett, thank you once again for joining us, and hopefully we will see you in your finery here at the Joy Studio at some point in the near future.
Well, I certainly hope so, and with pearls on.
Fabulous.
Ah, we'd expect nothing less.
The lovely Brett Took. Thank you again, and have a fabulous grand final day, Brett.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Cheerio.
Cheers. Bye now.
That's Brett Took, of course, from Motor Friends, which is a fantastic group of diverse motoring lovers. Now, we were talking about the grand final a little while ago. Obviously, it's on right now, Dan.
Yes.
We're not going to give the score away. We're just not.
I'm not even looking.
No.
I don't need the distraction.
You're not, are you? Well, thank God for that. But I mentioned before, I've just made some paper noises. It's terrific. Yes. How embarrassing.
That's good, because if you hear that, it means something really interesting is coming.
Exactly. Yeah, woo! Oh, that was loud. We were talking before about AFL clubs, and quite a number of them are sponsored by car makers. Now, I was kind of curious about this because I wanted to see if there was any connection to the brand of the car maker, and the brand of the team. See what I'm doing there?
I do see what you're doing, and I thought this initially, I'll be honest, Tim, didn't think it was a very good idea, but
understandable.
Actually having a look over the teams... There's actually some strange parallels to draw.
I do smart. No, I'm not really. But look, it was quite interesting, and we'll kick it off with Adelaide. Now, Adelaide's sponsor is Toyota.
Yes.
There's no real connection between Adelaide and Toyota. Holdens are built in Adelaide. So you would think that would be a more logical...
You'd think so. And if you've gone back further, Mitsubishi. Wasn't Mitsubishi...
Correct.
There you go. That would be a more logical one. I know they probably don't want to talk too much about the fact that they're not made there anymore. But, you know, that would be more understandable.
Well, it makes sense because Geelong is sponsored... My team is sponsored by Ford.
Well, there you go.
There's... Because they're built there.
Yes. That's an obvious one.
And apparently, that sponsorship deal is the longest sports sponsorship on the planet.
Right.
Honestly, that's... Yeah.
Which begs the question, what happens in 2016?
Apparently they're going to continue on, but I would suggest that it would be to a... I don't know if they'd be the major sponsor, but I'm just speculating there. But the word is that they will keep going.
Okay.
It's because I think if they were to pull out of the city of Geelong and then out of the football club, there would be a gigantic backlash.
Yes.
So...
And yes.
Because if you drive... I don't know if many people out there have been to Geelong or spent much time there. I've got a lot of family there. There are Fords everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And isn't it interesting that, by coincidence, the team strip is the same colours as the Ford badge?
It's quite perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
By accident, I believe.
Unison made in oily heaven.
It is. Now, another one. There is a link here. Collingwood is sponsored by Holden. Now,
I know what you're going to say.
I had suggested, and look, I'm a big Holden fan from way back, but I was going to suggest that the link there is that both of those brands have massive bogans as followers.
I thought that was the angle you were going to go.
What a judgmental witch I am.
Well, I don't know. I can see there's a very mixed response happening right now for your suggestion. I personally have to see that there is a certain link. I know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Just a tint
yes.
of a link.
I regard myself as a half-decent Collingwood supporter.
You are.
But yeah, I hopefully don't represent the full portion of supporters.
No, you certainly don't, despite the fact your teeth are falling out. Now, I'm kidding. Now, another one is, Fremantle is sponsored by Hyundai. Now, this is good because, John Hughes was the first person to bring out Hyundai Motor Company in Australia in the 80s in Perth.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's where it all started. Now, he does that with Chinese cars that don't end up coming to the rest of Australia because they're too unsafe. But back in the day, he made a very smart move bringing Hyundai here, and then eventually they became their own, you know, own operation, that kind of thing. But yeah, Perth or Freo and Hyundai,
that's a good
that works.
One. That's got a good bit of trivia attached to it that I didn't know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't know either.
Well, there's another one here, Dan.
Yes, I'm looking forward to more education.
I know, right? Greater Western Sydney is sponsored by Skoda. Can you see a link there?
I think I can, yes.
Please.
Neither one of those organisations has really received much attention or coverage or notification or really anything. Yes.
Yeah. Nobody really knows anything about either of them.
No one
barracks for Greater Western Sydney and not.
Did you just say Greater Western Cindy? I know that girl.
She's a big girl.
She is. You can actually see her from quite a long way away.
Goodness me. But look, no, I mean, Skoda is a niche brand with not many people who buy them. Greater Western Sydney is a niche football club with not many followers yet. But both of them want to grow. So
yes.
I think that's quite a nice little link
keep
there.
Keep doing your work, Cindy, and get people get people on to your case.
That's amazing.
Hey, I've got one.
Yeah.
This is perhaps the most appropriate of the lot. Stop tittering, Tim.
Sorry.
Here we go. Could this be a more perfect union? Melbourne and Opel.
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
The two stinkers.
I know.
And look, it's a shame because I have a soft spot for Melbourne because I think their uniforms are by far the best. They have a good-looking team.
Don't they? Yeah.
And, you know, it's Melbourne, like the city of Melbourne. That's a great team to follow, but
yeah.
They've done so poorly.
And exactly the same as Opel. Had a really good package. You know, it was a good-looking car. Sorry, I can't say that about footballers, can I?
But
great-looking car.
Yeah.
Such potential, but somehow just didn't work.
I know.
It's Melbourne.
And hopefully Melbourne doesn't experience the same fate as Opel. I believe there's a bit of money behind Melbourne, so hopefully
There will always be a Melbourne.
I really hope so. I really, really hope so. But I do quite like that one. Port Adelaide and Renault, that's a bit of an odd one. Port Adelaide is known for its low to medium socioeconomic kind of geography, or whatever you want to call it.
Entirely hand-in-hand with Renault.
I found it really odd, and Renault's got the yellow, very yellow badge. Like, it's, I don't know, nothing makes
no,
sense with
no
that.
Link there. I wonder. I'm going to think about this. Maybe someone can enlighten us
maybe.
To this one.
Yeah. Jeep and Richmond. I don't know. Action packed. Bogans living in the inner north. I don't know. Whatever. I don't really care about that one. Sydney, though. Sydney is sponsored by Volkswagen.
Oh, right. Now, okay. What's your theory on this?
Well, Sydney's a little bit posh, but not super posh.
Yeah.
Much like Volkswagen.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of a premium brand, but it's not really anymore.
Oh.
But it's like you wouldn't see Sydney being sponsored by Ford or Holden because it's Sydney. Hello, it's Sydney.
Yeah.
We're lovely.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I fully agree with that one, actually. I wonder if there's probably some Sydney-siders listening now going, no. Sydney is still the best city. It's still the Volkswagen of Australia.
Maybe Sydney needs to be recalled. And
no.
Topical.
Yeah.
She
but a
to
little
it.
Bit bitchy.
That's just me.
Cindy, put your claws away.
Now, we've got lots more coming up, of course. So stick around. Tim and Dan with you on Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim Nicholson here with the delightful Dan Jardner.
Oh, too kind, Tim.
And our imaginary friend, Cindy.
Yes.
Yes, she's amazement. It is grand final day. We've been talking about football. We've moved on. We're moving back to
cars. I was going to say, people just tuning in won't have the slightest idea what we're talking about in Cindy.
Absolutely.
And you know what? I'm not going to tell them.
I've got a link, though. Cindy is a woman.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I like women.
Yes.
Not in that way, but women drive cars.
Yes. This is a bit tenuous.
It is. And you know what? I'm just going to cut it off right here and I'm just going to go right to what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
So basically, recently a woman who works for Nissan Global, and I've forgotten her name, but it's here.
Oh, I thought you were saying that was her name.
No. Oh, no.
This woman was called Global.
No. Terrific name.
She's about the same size as Cindy. That's why they call her that.
She would be too. Oh, God. No, this is a woman who is Nissan's upstream product planner, Rachel Nguyen. I don't know what that title means. Just FYI.
Dear,
but
dear.
She has been quoted recently as saying that car designers, car makers have been way too focused on men when they're developing a car. And she's going to turn that around with Nissan and start kind of focusing on women a lot more in the, you know, development of a car from the, you know, the concept all the way through to production.
Okay.
It's quite interesting that she's saying that. And she probably has a point, I would suggest.
Yeah. What do you mean? You're suggesting she might not be a woman after all. She's got a point.
No.
Oh dear. It might have just been the way she was sitting. Revealed it all.
That's true.
No, okay. Right. When I first heard about this story, I thought there is a really noble element to it. I thought, yeah, absolutely right. That sounds like exactly the kind of thing we need. Motoring, no matter which way you look at it, is sadly but inherently male dominated, both in positions of management in major organizations, both, you know, this sort of silly macho, you know, car, petrol, you know, it's while there are always exceptions to the rule, we can't deny the fact that the motor industry is, unfortunately, primarily dominated by men. So when I first heard about this story, I thought, great. However, when you think about it, isn't there something kind of, without sort of sitting down and thinking too much about what elements of a car make them male or female, I then suddenly started thinking, isn't that a slightly sexist thing to say? Because this isn't like, this isn't makeup, this isn't shoes, this isn't like cricket, it's not, I'm being sexist in saying those things myself. To say that a car is appealing to more a female or male audience, isn't that implying there is, I don't know, I'd like to know what the first elements that are going to be looked at in the analyses. Aesthetically speaking, perhaps you could say that certain shapes, colours maybe appeal to, but I'm sorry, we're sitting in the studios at Joy right now. Aren't we supposed to be kind of breaking down the whole gender binary thing and saying, well, hang on, you know, girls are allowed to like the same things that boys are, and vice versa. And in fact, we recognize here at Joy that there's more genders than just boy and girl.
Yeah.
You know, so what's next? Do you? I don't like this. I've now thought about it enough and I don't like the fact
You've just thought about it as you're talking about it.
Yeah, I thought this sounds like a noble cause, but now I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Now I think this is probably something we shouldn't be looking at.
Okay, so you hate women. That's No, I'm just kidding. Well, it's interesting because this woman has said, as a part of her conversation with a colleague of mine, or ours, women don't see vehicles the same as men. They see it as a tool. Sorry, I just wanted to say tool. They see it as a tool, as a space spent alone and with others.
Right. Absolutely wrong. She cannot generalize that.
That
is profoundly sexist for her to say all women just see cars as a necessary evil. Absolute bullcrap. I know many friends of mine who, Paige, if you're listening right now, she spent her whole life working with cars because she loves them. She's the biggest petrol head I know, as much as me for that matter. This person working for Nissan is absolutely wrong. It's generalizing, and that is making a sexual stereotype.
Yeah, and she also goes on to say, Nissan has learnt that women want more effective technology that allows for multitasking. Speaking of stereotypes or typecasting, a more welcoming and holistic interior that gives a sense of togetherness, where they want to be able to take care of guests and family in a place where it's easy to engage in conversations and build a sense of togetherness.
Oh my God, she's the most sexist woman I've ever known.
She is a little bit, isn't it?
That is absolutely terrible.
It's very strange.
So women only like sitting around and talking. They don't like driving at all. No, goodness, no.
And all of them are multitaskers.
Exactly
and men aren't. Men are useless.
Terrible. Yeah, exactly. Well, I can say for myself, I am. but I know that not all of them are. This is just, so yeah, there we go. She's just, she's revealed exactly what I suspected, that this is a comment and a notion based in on sexism.
It is very strange, and I completely agree. I don't think there should be a focus on gender when kind of producing a car. People use cars. We all generally do the same thing in a car. You know,
depends how much fun you're having, but hey,
exactly, and who is watching at the time? But no, do you know what I mean? We all need spaces. The space under the seat that's now become like a storage compartment might very well, as the Ford Fiesta ad suggests, be for your high heels. Fabulous. I would probably put CDs in there. Like, who cares?
Yeah,
but you know what? I might, or Brett might, put his heels in there.
Exactly right. No, to suggest that cars should be designed based on the fact that we know men and women behave differently and we know men and women like different things is completely wrong. Mm. If you wanted to design a car, say, for example, based on the fact that women are smaller than men, generally, that's not a sexist thing to say because that is an undeniable thing. Well, it's a fact.
Here we go.
No, come on. I'm trying to perhaps like backtrack a little bit here and say there are ways you could perhaps design a car to say, like, think back, you know, if, say, we still started cars by a crank handle in the front, right? Mm. You could say that one that was very hard to start would probably be more for men, because men, generally speaking, and I'm not being sexist here, generally speaking, largely are stronger physically than women. I'm sure there are a few people listening going, no, Dan, that's absolutely bullshit as well, because, you know, we know that there are some very strong women out there, same, generally speaking. Hmm. So, but I think this whole notion that, you know, designing a car because people, women think differently to men is absolute rubbish.
Well, it's interesting because I think you, if you were, look, I'm just pulling facts out of my eyeballs here, but traditionally in this country, a lot of men have gone for a larger car, like a Commodore or a Falcon or something like that.
Yes, those are the men with smaller penises.
Well, possibly. But there was also, and back when I was growing up, I remember very clearly, if somebody bought like a Ford Laser or a small car, something like a Holden Astra or whatever, that was a girl's car. That's what people would say. It's like, it's a girl's car because it's small. I mean, how much has that turned around now? Hot hatches, not even hot hatches, just, you know, dudes buy Mazda 3s. You know, get over it.
Good.
Women buy massive SUVs.
Yes.
Get over it. Women buy sports cars. Men buy, like...
I love seeing a girl drive a ute. I think that is a wonderful thing. I think that is a celebration of, you know, not conforming to... gender binary and predetermined rules related to sexuality or gender or anything. I think that's wonderful. It's a really great celebration of a changing country we live in. You say, you know, that, I don't know how many years ago, I'm not going to reveal your age by saying how long ago I think that was, but I think that's shown that we have changed and there is less room for that in society these days.
Absolutely. So we say to Nissan, how dare you?
Exactly. Whatever next?
Well, exactly. I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
It's a slippery slope, isn't it, Dan?
Graphic.
That was creepy anyway. Look, you know, good luck to her, and let's see how the hell Nissan work that out.
Yes.
Like, what's going to happen? What is going to happen?
They are treading on very, very thin ice.
Oh, my God.
And if I'd like to be proven wrong here. I'd like them to do everyone a favour and come up with a genuinely unbiased and non-sexist car.
True.
Is a very difficult thing to do.
Yep. So good luck to them. Look, on that very ranty note, we have come to the end of the show.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Oh, dear. If Jeremy was here, he'd like that reference.
Oh, why belieber?
Ooh.
No one likes
it. Why did you have to drag down the tone right at the end?
Well, I like drag. What can I say?
And you have to leave all our listeners with an unpleasant taste in their mouth.
I do. Oh, God. Look, how good are we for not revealing the scores?
Pretty good.
I know, right?
Well, have you been looking? I haven't been looking.
No.
I didn't want to give myself the opportunity to accidentally put my foot in it, so...
I think a team is winning.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to say.
All right.
I don't want to go too far.
I don't know. I think you're just out there, Nicholson.
I don't even know what that meant anymore. Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much for joining me.
It's been a pleasure. I will now go and do some catching up, if you know what I mean.
No.
Okay.
Right. Football.
Yes.
I understand. I probably will too. Look, a big thanks to Brett, of course, from Motor Friends. And if you want to catch up with the podcasts, please go to joy.org.au/FenderBender. There's a bunch of new podcasts up there. There'll be some older episodes coming up very shortly as well. Do stick around for the absolutely terrific Hannah, who is has got Little Fish. And, of course, you can hear Hannah and Dan on Monday mornings for the Weekender Extender.
Thank you very much for the bit of free advertising there.
I just plugged you.
Oh, dear.
On that note, I think it's time to end. Wow. My name is Tim Nicholson.
My eyes were watering. God.
This is Tim Nicholson signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station.
See joy.org.au for more details.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.